Okay, our scripture is Matthew 27, 50 to 51. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Praise God for the power of the kingdom, eh? Amen. Even in death, Jesus is triumphant. Even in death. He cancelled out the wrath of God towards sin and in our lives. And that's why God got excited. Did you know he got excited? And when he gets excited, it's awesome. Okay? He ripped the curtain from top to bottom. And do you know why he ripped it? Because his son's blood, his atoning blood, covered us with his precious blood. And the wrath of God is not on our lives anymore. He opened that curtain. He got to say, yahoo! And opened up the curtain so that we could come through that curtain. Amen? Amen. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. I get excited and I just go, calm down, Barry. Calm down, calm down. Okay. You know something, people? When God ripped that curtain from top to bottom, he was excited. That's why the rock split and the earth shook. But he did it in love. He was excited that he can be reconnected and reconciled with his people again. He loves us more than we ever understand. His love is dynamite. His love is power. His love is pure. His love is excellent. And his love is never ending in our lives. No matter what you've done. No matter what you've done. Where you've been. Where you come from. Hallelujah. And I've just jumped ahead of myself. Amen. He defeated Satan and his army and made them victors over our life, even in death. Christ defeated the devil. You know what? Satan is a created being. And he was defeated at Calvary. The fallen angels are defeated at Calvary. The demons are defeated at Calvary. He is not our enemy. Unless you give Satan the power, then he's your enemy. The only power you can get that Satan has over your life is the power that you give him. Other than that, he's not our enemy. You know what our enemy is? Our flesh. Our flesh. Hallelujah. Just a little short testimony here. We've had a couple of things in the last month happen in our family. Stuff stolen out of our house. Valuable stuff. Precious stuff. And it was all... I knew what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to sideswipe my mind from concentrating. I used to play rugby and I was a flanker. And we used to try and sideswipe the other fella, knock him, not knock him out, but knock him over. But so you lose concentration on what he's doing. And Satan attacked our home and robbed two very valuable things from our home. And I turned around and I got up at 1:30 in the morning. And I said, the battle is not mine, it's yours, Lord Jesus. Lord, you fight this battle for me and my wife and my family. It's not our battle. And Satan, you've already lost. So you're just a jolly fool for trying to do the same thing again. And you know what? God came out and he absolutely blessed us. Absolutely poured his blessing and his love over our life. Hallelujah. And the other thing he taught me was, keep your focus, Barry. Keep your focus, keep your heart to where I want you to go. Hallelujah. He encouraged me. There is power in the atoning blood of Jesus, even now and in the future. I love that song. She's not here. I love that song. There is power, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the blood. And Atahua remembers one time when I was preaching and we got up and we sung it. And then five old men came up with me another time. We sung, I surrender all, I surrender. Gee, that was good, eh, Gary? God himself tore the curtain, saying to all mankind, come to me no matter what you've done, where you've been, where you've come from. Come as you are. Give me your heart and give me your life. People, us here, who are born again for this moment, you know, sometimes we miss the mark and we do an oopsie or sin or whatever you want to call it. And you know what? We haven't learned. And sometimes we walk away and sometimes we stop reading, sometimes we stop praying. And that's just opening the door to the enemy. When you've had an oopsie or you might come to church, I can remember when our kids were little, we had a carload of them, didn't we, dear? And we'd come to church and the kids were, and we go, ah, shut up. And by the time you come to church, you're like this. You know? Or even people, a born-again Christian, even if you're struggling with something, an attitude or something, I want to tell you, that is the time to walk into the presence of the Lord. That's why he tore the curtain. That's the time for us to go through the curtain. And I put this to the test. I said, okay, Lord, and I was feeling really down what happened to us, and I was feeling really gutted and down. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put your word to the test. I am going to do this. And I walked into through the curtain and into his presence, and I said, Lord, I'm a miserable wreck right now, but I'm going to praise you, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to love you. And you know what he did? The moment I did that, he lifted that heaviness off me. I felt it come off me, and I started praising the Lord. Born-again Christians, people, go through that curtain no matter how you feel. I heard a testimony of a man who lived a very not nice life, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He now is ministering to pastors, but he gave his heart to the Lord, and this desire came on him again, what he was doing in his old life, and he would crash. And come again, crash. And you cry out to God. You know what God said to him? Come to me when the desire hits your flesh. Come to me. Come through that curtain and I will deliver you. Come when the desire is burning in your flesh. Come. And he did. And now that man has been set free. He's married. He's got a daughter. And he now ministers to pastors. But he had to go through that curtain the way he was. We've got to do that, people. No matter how you feel, no matter if you've been hurt, if someone called you a rotten egg or something and you feel offended, go through that curtain. Don't attack the person. You horrible person, you shouldn't say that about me. Don't do that. Go through that curtain and say, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm offended. I want to go through it. And go through that curtain. Hallelujah. Now the curtain is torn from top to bottom. We can now come into the presence of God with confidence because of Jesus paying our price on the cross and washing us with his atoning blood. Ephesians 3:12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Do you know something? When we go through that curtain, when we walk through that curtain, we don't walk with ourselves. We are covered in the grace of God. We are covered in his mercy. We are covered in his atoning blood. That's for us. All of us sitting here this morning are in God's grace. We're covered in his grace. Hallelujah. What is grace? It's favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or the merit of the one who receives it, and in spite of what that person deserves. When I first became a Christian in 1969, a lot of Christians stepped aside when I they just wouldn't have anything to do with me. I was called a wild animal. That's actually what I was called. And whenever I walked, they went that way. Okay. But you know what? You know what they didn't see back then? God's grace. They didn't see a man who Jesus was living in. They saw my life, my past, and everything. I didn't see that. I saw Jesus, and I loved him. And one night I went to a healing. This fellow was coming to preach. Pray. He preached and then he prayed. I was only 7 days old, a Christian, and I needed prayer because I couldn't breathe properly. And I went there, and he put his hand on me. And he started praying, so I walked away. I walked away while he was still praying, and he said, and I'm like, oh. And I got home and I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know. And I looked up in my bed and I said, Jesus, you must be one busy fella, coming down, healing people and ducking off back up again, that, like that. And then all of a sudden I looked in my doorway and there was this fiery figure. I couldn't see the face. It was like a fire. Everything was burning. I went, oh, the devil! So I picked up my Bible. And it still stood there. I went, oh, maybe you're Jesus. I said, oh, if you're Jesus, come in. And he walked in. He held my hand. I instantly got healed. And he went, gone. No time to have a talk or anything. He just gone. And that's God. Even though that poor fellow was praying and there's no one there, God's grace. God's grace. A few years ago, Lynn and I, we used to run a ministry called 60 Minutes. And there was a lady there, Mrs. H. Her and her husband and family trained horses. And she'd been coming for quite a while, and I really felt in my heart to challenge her about asking Jesus into her life. And I said, Mrs. H, me and my wife are going to take you into a little room just over there. I need to talk to you. She said, okay, Barry. So I did, and I said, Mrs. H, Jesus would love to be your Savior and your Lord. He'd love to come into your life. And she said, oh, I'd love him too, Barry, but I've done so many bad things. I've been a bad girl in my time. And I sat there for a minute, and I says, you know something, Mrs. H? Jesus doesn't care about your past, what you've done, where you've been, where you've come from. He wants a relationship with you now and in the future. He's more interested in now and in the future. He loves you. And she looked at me, hey, love, remember? And she said, I want to ask Jesus into my life, Barry. So we prayed, but did you know what? When we finished that prayer, the presence of God came in that room, and all we could do was just sit there. It was so powerful. And then a few months later, God took her home to be with him. But oh, the point is, no matter what you've done, where you've been, it's nothing to the Lord. He wants you. He loves you. He loves to hear your voice. Do you know, I went to Palmerston with my wife and my foster daughter, and I'd been struggling for about a couple of weeks, just spiritually. I just kind of had a struggling time, and I went for a walk, and it started to rain, and I said to the Lord, oh, sorry, mate, I better go back home. I don't know where I live, and I don't know this place. And the Lord said to me, if I stop the rain, will you talk to me, Barry? I haven't heard your voice for a long time. And he stopped the rain. And I carried on talking. But I realized something from that day, how important it is that God hears our voice. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him. You don't have to do anything like that. You just tell him. I go, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you today? And then I pray. I talk to him. I might say to him, I feel stink today. I'm sorry. And you know, whatever's in my heart, I talk to him. And he said, I haven't heard your voice. People, God wants you to have those times with him. He loves you and he loves your voice. He loves to hear you. He wants to develop a relationship with you. You are special to him. You're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. When the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23, 40 to 43, he was a naughty boy. He'd done some bad stuff, thieving, and the other fellow had done some thieving, but the one in the middle was Jesus. And this fellow was racking off at Jesus, and this fellow told him off. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord said to him, Today you shall be with me in paradise. And then the Lord gave up his spirit, and then they come and broke the legs of those men, and they died. And you know what? That man walked through the torn curtain that day. No matter what he'd done. And this is for people this morning. If you're here and you've never asked the Lord into your heart, do you want to know something? The Lord chose you. And all of us here, the Lord chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us first. And you are here by divine appointment. And you are out there, what's it called, live stream? Live stream. You are out there in live stream. And you are there listening by divine appointment. Because God's chosen you. God wanted you here this morning so you could hear the word spoken by Pastor Marty and myself. Because God loves you, people. He loved that thief on the cross. He gave us, and he allowed him to walk into the presence of God. And we're going to meet that thief one day. This is God's love in action, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is God's love. I want you to grab this. Let it penetrate into your heart. This is how much he loves us. While I didn't care about him, while I was busy doing my own thing, doing my thinking I was free, he laid his life down for us because he loved us so much. And yet we didn't give him an inch of our life. We didn't give him any space a day or time, but he still laid down his life. God still gave him his son to us, even while we didn't deserve it, because his love. Do you know something? I never grew up with love. I didn't know what love was. I had no idea. I thought it was this, and I used it. But that wasn't love. That was naughty, naughty, you know. But until I gave my heart to the Lord, one night, I'll share this with you. One night I was uptown, and Maria Harper came up to me, and she said, I got a party at my house. Would you like to come? Oh, party. I said, yes, yes, I'll be there. So I went and bought two flagons. Back in those days, there was flagons. I don't know whether, don't tell me yes, because I'll think. And I went to this, I had two flagons under my arm, and I went into this. Marie opened the door, and I had these two flagons looking for, you know, where's all the singing and the noise? And they were sitting in chairs with a square book on their knee, some with brown, some with red. And I walked in, I thought, and I was thinking, if there's a hole in this place, I actually want to go down there. It was horrible. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, she shut the door behind me, and I thought, okay, I'm locked in here now. So I put the two flagons on by my chair, and somebody spoke God's word. But somehow, praise God, a little bit got into the seed into my mind and my heart. And I still can't remember what it was back then. But at any rate, I went back to the forestry and I said, if I can be a good boy for 3 days, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. At any rate, a day and a half went past and I was a real saint, according to me. And I couldn't hang any longer, people. That next day, off to the pub, swear my little mouth off and do everything. And then I said to myself, oh, I can't be a Christian, I'm too bad. I can't. And then my cunning mother, she became a Christian. She rings me up and says, Barry, would you like to come a group? I said, I know what they are now, Mum. Those people sitting on chairs with books on their knee. And she said, would you like to come? I said, yeah, yeah, I'll come. But this time I was wise. I went to the pub. Had a few jugs before I went. And I went to this group. And I'm sitting there. And I knew those books weren't parties or flagons or anything. I knew they were books. And I'm sitting there and Mum's like, are you all right, son? I go, yeah, all right, Mum. And this man started preaching. And I'll never forget the message. And that was in 1969. And I can still remember it today. About these four people letting this man down to Jesus down there. And I said to myself, how dare they smash a hole in his roof? You know? And then when he started mentioning about Jesus to be healed, the funny thing happened to me. I turned around and I said, I want you. And I want to be just like you. And that was good. And then he said, anyone want to ask Jesus? I put my hand up. And I tell you, people, I felt the exchange take place. I felt the kingdom of darkness leave my life and the kingdom of light come. I felt it. I felt it. It's like Jesus got a hold of Satan. You know? And he come in and he took his place in my life. But this is what happened next. I had a vision. And I was standing like this. And my body was covered in chains and cast iron balls. And I was like this. And they untwined and went to my feet to powder. And this is what happened. I heard the voice of Jesus. And he said this, Barry. He called me by my name. Not many people did. But he did. Barry, you are free. And that day I was set free from all the bondages. But I had to outwork those things in my life, of course. But what Jesus did is he set me free from Satan's power. I was no longer a slave to Satan. You know, people, if you're here for the first time and never asked Jesus into your life, I want to tell you this. You're not doing your own thing. Take it from me. I'm 74 now. I learned a lot in those 22 years of hell. You're not doing your own thing. You're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. You are a slave and you're in bondage to him. The only way you can get free and be yourself is to ask Jesus into your life. He will set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this one. What's a parable? A short, simple story designed to communicate a spiritual truth. The prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance right there and then. And then he took off. You know the story. And he lived a wild life. And he came to the part where he's feeding the pigs. And then he got there and he realized this wasn't him. Who am I? But here's something beautiful. This is spiritual truth is illustrating Jesus' love. But when he said, give me my inheritance, Dad, I want to get off and live a wild life. I don't want to live under your roof, under your authority. I don't want to be a family. I want to out. And so Father gave the money and he took off. But you know what? If that was me, I would have said, sit down, son. We're going to have a coffee. A flat white, three sugars, half strength, and no froth. And I would have said, do you realize what you're doing, boy? If you take this money and go, the Bible says inheritance given early has no blessing at the end. And I would have said, you know, boy, just settle down. Get through this until it's time. But Jesus didn't. Jesus let him have it. You know why? The father heart. He knew if he hadn't have given it, his son would have got bitter and more hateful and more hateful. He would have argued and fought and it would have been miserable. So he knew it was far better to let him have it and then the boy come back. And what does it say? If you love something, let it go and it will always come back to you. Amen. Anyway, the boy did his thing and he had these false friends and, you know, yeah, you're my mate, Ben, you know, you got $100, you know. And you know, all that kind of thing. I mean, it was all run out. You're not my friend now. You know, that's what it was. And the boy come to his senses. Now, Pastor Lee was preaching, take responsibility for your own Christian walk. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the mother, father, or whatever. Take responsibility for your own Christian walk. At any rate, the boy was sitting in the feeding the pigs. And then he come to his senses. He'd be like, who am I? What am I doing? I'm better off. And he started thinking about, he started to begin to walk under the conviction that he was coming under. He took authority over what was happening and he said, I'm going to go back to my dad and I'm going to say, forgive me, Dad, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. Now this is for us or those who have loved the Lord and you've walked away because you've been hurt or something like that. That's when you should have gone through the curtain. But at any rate, he started walking back, and the father saw him. And the father went into the house, shut the door, and made a cup of tea and said, well, Let him knock on the door. Let him come in when he wants to. Did he do that? No. He ran to his son, hugged him, kissed him, and he gave him the best robe, the best ring, and the best sandals, and killed the fatted calf for this boy. That is love. And I want to say something to anyone out there or here. If you've lost your passion, or you're struggling, or you're backslidden, I tell you what, all God's doing is wanting you to come back. He's waiting with open arms for you to come back. Did you know I backslid for a year? I thought I was too bad for Jesus. How can Jesus love a bad man like me? This is after I gave my heart to the Lord. And it was interesting. The man I brought to the Lord was he come back and brought me back into the kingdom of God. And it was so humbling, but so I've never looked back from that day. I've realized that's not how Jesus thinks. That's not how he works. He's a God of love. And he ran to that boy. He just kissed him and hugged him. And I want to tell you, come running back. Come walking back to God. Come back into the kingdom of God. Give your lives, recommit your life back to God. Give it back to him. He's waiting for you, people. He's waiting for you who give their lives to him for the first time. He is waiting with open arms. I mean, if he can accept me when I've been to the pub, had a few jugs, and he sobered me up the moment I put up my hand, I became sober. But I had a lot of drugs and stealing and violence and things in the back of my backpack that God took off. I had to work all those out. I was brought up in a wild family. No dad, not loving mum. We just grew up, we brought ourselves up. But you know what? God looked down and he said, I want you, boy. I want you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, I want you. No one else wanted me. No one else would hang around me or be friends with me. I was a lonely boy, a man. But God said, I want you. I can see what I can do in your life. And I love you. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, it was powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I have jumped ahead of myself, haven't I? Pastor Marty was talking about Peter. So am I. Peter disowned Jesus 3 times. I don't know him. I'm not one of his disciples. And he told another lie. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, this was a disciple of the Lord. Now, hello. But you know what, people? Jesus went to the cross and everything, and after he rising from the dead, and he come back, and he said, get my disciples and Peter. He didn't leave Peter out. He loved Peter, and he reinstated Peter back into the kingdom. Oh, Barry, settle down. Now, he reinstated Peter back. That's his love for us, people. If you get hurt, or someone says something to you, or you've accidentally done something, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. Say, forgive me, Father. Keep short accounts with him. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And walk through that curtain with the feelings that you feel. And I promise you, you won't walk away from the Lord because he'll minister to you right there and then. He'll deliver you of your pain, your agony, or whatever. But get through that curtain. If I finish now, is that too early? Okay. I'd love to finish with this. Love can be known only from the actions it prompts. That's a little nice bit of word for you. Here we go. Every believer has been cleansed completely from their sins in the precious blood of Jesus once and for all at Calvary. We are forgiven. Oh, if we could get, don't walk off here. If we can get a revelation, if we can get, it might be awesome if I did. Well, they do at the swimming pool. If we could get a revelation, a really, really revelation that our sins are forgiven from past, present, and future, that doesn't mean we walk around and go, ooh, and do something naughty. It means we need to be humble and value and appreciate what Jesus has done. But people, if we can get that revelation that we are actually forgiven, even present, future, and past, we should be worshiping the Lord. We should be celebrating with a loud voice. Man, we shouldn't be sitting in the church and go, the strength is mine. We shouldn't be doing that. No, it should be with all our heart, like that prophet said, bring it from here. Let it come out. He was good. And when you do have an oopsie, quickly keep a short account with the Lord. Ask God forgive you. Say if you stub your toe on something, you go, Rubop! And you've said a wrong word or something, ask God to forgive you straight away, because that keeps the door shut from the enemy. The only power Satan has is the power you give him. Amen? Every believer has been cleansed completely from their sins in the precious blood of Jesus, once and for all at Calvary. Hallelujah. Jesus was victorious even in death. Amen? This is our standing before God, guiltless, sinless, and righteous. You might say, I don't really feel righteous, Barry. No, well, sometimes we don't. We do stupid things. We say silly things. But I'll tell you what, that's how God sees us. This church and all the churches and the bride of Christ would be so powerful if we got this revelation. Hallelujah. And we didn't walk around feeling stink or something. Righteous. This position is permanent, as changeless as our unchanging Lord. Amen? If sin comes into your life, it does not affect that standing, for the standing is Jesus Christ, who is accepted by God, and we live in him. Hallelujah. That was quick. Amen.
Thank you, Barry, for that powerful word. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed. Let's prepare our hearts to go and have some fellowship and a cup of tea. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. Lord, we thank you that you do indeed love us and that you love each and every person that is gathered here individually, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord, as we gather together and we fellowship and we eat and drink together, Lord God, that you would dwell in our midst and stir our hearts to one another as we do the work of the kingdom in our community. Hallelujah. Amen.